If you would, turn your Bibles to Acts, the 16th chapter, please. Acts chapter 15, or 16. In just a moment, we'll be reading from the 25th verse. I want to talk to you this evening for a few moments about the subject of singing, since I am acknowledged as an expert on that subject. I've told you before, you know, I was cut out to be a singer. I just got sewed up wrong. But nonetheless, singing is a subject that I suspect would be quite familiar to those who are members of the Lord's church, something that we typically engage in quite a bit. A significant part of our worship services together are devoted to singing. And so I want to ask you a question this evening, and that is just exactly why do we sing? Now, I want to ask this question tonight separate from what may generally be involved in a Church of Christ where the subject of singing is discussed, and a lot of times the subject is discussed from the standpoint of singing with or without instrumental accompaniment. And I believe that's a very important subject. It's one that we've certainly studied together before in the past. And I believe there is a very significant point to be made from the Scriptures about why we should only sing and not employ instrumental accompaniment in that singing. But I this evening don't intend really to talk about this from that vantage point, but I just want to ask, why do we sing at all? Why sing? In Acts, the 16th chapter, in the 25th verse, we read of an occurrence in the life of Paul and Silas as they were engaged in a preaching journey. They, at this point in time, are in the city of Philippi. They've encountered some difficulty with the officials and the powers that be in the city. They've been put under arrest. They've been beaten, and they've been thrown into prison. And it's in prison that we see the 25th verse describes what they began to do. And it was about midnight, Luke tells us, that Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Well, I think I can understand why these men were praying on this occasion. The question may come, but why were they singing? What was there to sing about in these kinds of circumstances? Now, you might point out, and I think very well so, that, well, of course, David, you know, we're not talking about a church that's gathered here together. We're talking about two Christians who are here held in these circumstances, and on more of a, what we might say, an individual basis, they engage in singing. And that, I think, is a very accurate description about what was occurring here. And it, in many ways, complies with what we read about in James, the 5th chapter, and in verse 13, where James writes, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises." And I think if you look at the context in that passage, you'll find that what James is doing is he's telling Christians what they can do, what they should do, on an individual basis. And it looks to me like this certainly would have some application to what we read about here in Acts chapter 16. I suspect that there were at least a couple of things going on in this instance, and that is that Paul and Silas were suffering to some degree. And so we see Luke says that they were praying. But apparently they had something to be cheerful about. We'll talk about that some as we go along in a little bit. But apparently they had a reason to sing. And so my question is, why? Why do we sing? And you may say, well, David, we sing because, you know, that's what we read that the Christians in the New Testament did. And that's exactly right. That's what we read that they did. But the question is, why did they do it? Why did they sing? What was there about singing that was so vital and so important that the Lord made it part of what He told them to do as individuals and what He instructed them to do as a congregation as well when they were gathered together? Why sing? Well, I want to suggest to you this evening a few reasons why I believe singing is such a vital part of what we do. And I'm sure there are some psychological and emotional reasons that there probably have been studies done as to what music does for human beings. We're not going to get into any of that. But I do believe we can look at the New Testament and see what these folks did or what they were instructed to do and gain some insights into why we do sing. Why is it an important part of what we do when we come together here? Or why is it an important part of what we do individually? Well, I want to say to you, first of all, is one reason why I think these folks sang and why we ought to sing is because the Lord sang. Turn your Bibles, if you would, over to the book of Matthew in the 26th chapter, in the 30th verse. There we're given a record of what Jesus was doing just immediately before He was to be arrested and taken to be put on trial, and then, of course, to be crucified. Chapter 26 of Matthew is the description of how He's gathered with His disciples. He institutes the Lord's Supper and gives them instructions about what they are to do in that regard. And it was important for them to follow that instruction, of course. But then verse 30 just tells us that after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I tell you what the Lord did. The Lord sang. And we're familiar with many of the admonitions to follow the Lord and to follow Him as an example. Peter's instruction to his brethren that they ought to follow. He is an example given to us that we should follow in His footsteps. And that's a good reason for us to sing, because the Lord found it to be something that was significant enough and important enough for Him to engage in. And I find it interesting, just as kind of a sidelight, as to the circumstances of Jesus' singing with His disciples here. They are similar, it seems to me, in some ways, to what we read about there in Acts chapter 16 and the circumstances Paul and Silas found themselves in. The harsh treatment that Paul and Silas had received, the uncertainty about what was, you know, to be their fate and their experiences going forward. These were no doubt difficult and trying times, and to them, and they found some, I would say, some solace, some encouragement. They found something in singing that was valuable in those kinds of circumstances. And no doubt Jesus, with knowledge of what was going to be happening to Him in just a few short hours, found, this was an appropriate time and a useful time for Him to sing with His disciples. Would you have liked to have heard Jesus sing? Or Peter? Or John? Would you have been there if you could have been? I think you probably would have been. I think I probably would have been. But that's a room, that room where they were gathered, where they sang before they went out, is a room that belongs to history. We can't be there. But we can be in this room. And it's, of course, not going to be that we will be able to hear Jesus sing or the apostles sing in this room. But we can hear one another sing. And we can derive from that the same kinds of benefits, the same kind of comfort, the same kind of solace that Jesus must have received at this difficult hour, or that Paul and Silas received from one another when they sang. But I want to give you another reason why I think we sing, and the reason that we're instructed to sing. It's because it's a form of instruction. It's a form by which, or a means by which, people are taught. Singing, our singing. And I believe we've got to be very careful about this. Our singing is not a form of entertainment. It's not something in which, oh, you know, this sounds so good, and the way this is done, and the way the music is written, and the way that it is sung, all of these things. You know, I mean, it can be, no doubt, no question, that it even should be an emotional kind of experience. But we must be careful that in being affected by those things, as we should be, that we don't lose the element of instruction. That's what it is. It is to use a popular phrase these days, it is a teaching moment when we sing. Acts, the 16th chapter, as we've read, verse 25. Did you catch what it says at the end of that verse? That they were, as they were singing, and the prisoners were listening to them. And you may say, well, David, you know, that's good. Maybe the prisoners just enjoyed good gospel singing. Well, yeah, maybe so. But I tell you what happened. Whether those prisoners realized it or not, they were taught something in those songs that they heard those men singing. And I know they were taught something by hearing those men sing and pray together. Because when, as we read in the verses that follow, when an earthquake shook the building and these men became concerned about their well-being and they're concerned about their lives and concerned about what was going to happen, they immediately rushed to the jailer and said, "What should we do?" Well, they went to the guy that was the head guy on the cell block. No. They went to Paul and Silas. And the jailer went specifically and asked that question, "What must I do?" Why did he go to Paul and Silas? Well, I think he had learned something. I think he had learned, at the very least, that these were the kind of men who had an answer to such a question. What do we need to do? Well, as you consider further what the Scriptures have to say about the instructing nature of singing and why it is valuable for that, you look at some familiar passages of Scripture in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, where we find Paul admonishing his brethren with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that they should be speaking to one another. Now, it's quite true, as we even mentioned already today, this evening, it's quite true that when we sing, we are singing praises to God. That's exactly what Acts 16 said about Paul and Silas' singing. They were singing praises to God. But we must never lose sight of the fact that we are also singing to one another. We are speaking to one another. We are teaching one another the things, the message that is contained in the words of that song that we are singing. Again, it's mentioned over in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 16, where Paul, in his admonishing the Colossian brethren in much the same way that he had the Ephesians, said to them that they should be teaching and admonishing one another. And when we're singing, We're not just singing songs that we like or that we enjoy. We're expressing a message to one another that we need to be alert to, that we need to receive from one another. The message in songs that we sing is very important. You remember the Apostle Paul writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and one of those passages that gives a glimpse into what the Corinthian church did and what they should be doing when they came together to worship together, he talked about singing with the understanding in the 15th verse. I'll sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. There's something to be understood in the message. That's why singing, and I promised I wouldn't do this, but that's why singing without the accompaniment of instruments really is an important matter. It's because the emphasis ought to be upon the message that's being expressed. I heard a story here a short while ago about a church is a denominational church, and they employed the instruments of music, and they were the preacher was talking about the activities of one of the groups in the church. It was the Ladies League, and he was praising them, and so he called up the woman who was the head of the Ladies League to come up and tell the congregation what they were doing. And so she came up and she told the ladies in this woman's league that she wanted them to come to the front of the church and march to the front of the church to demonstrate the devotion and the commitment that they had to this project that they were talking about. So all these ladies got up, and they came marching down the aisles to the front of the church. Well, the pianist was wanting to, you know, be part of this and to add encouragement, and so she began to play, you know, the little tune, the children's tune, "I'm in the Lord's Army. I may never march in the infantry or fire the artillery or fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's Army." Well, she started playing that little tune. Problem is, that tune is also to the song, "The Old Gray Mare." And so these ladies in the Ladies League wanted to speak to the pianist after the services were over to find out why she was playing "The Old Gray Mare." She just ain't what she used to be. You see, a piano can't convey a message. An instrument can't convey a message. It can't teach. It can't instruct. It can't admonish. But singers can. Singers should. And so when we think about why do we sing, we ought to think about the fact that we sing because our Lord sang. And we sing for really probably the same reason that He sang, but certainly the reason that He admonishes us to sing, and that is to teach, to admonish, to instruct one another. But I want to tell you, we also sing because it has an effect upon our heart. It touches our hearts when we sing. You go back to those passages we just looked at, Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. We're told that in Ephesians 5 and verse 19 that as we sing these spiritual songs and hymns and psalms, that we are to make melody in our heart to the Lord. And in Colossians, Paul says that as we admonish and as we teach one another, we do so with grace in our hearts. Singing, when it is done in the appropriate fashion, with the appropriate reasons, with the appropriate songs, singing touches our hearts. And that makes it valuable. It has an impact upon us. Remember, this applies not just to groups of Christians when they come together. It applies to us individually as well. Remember James's admonition there in James chapter 5. Is any man cheerful? Are you happy? Express it. Let the happiness and the joy of your heart be known. How do you do it? you see. And I mean, that just almost comes natural to human beings. To just sing. Now, they're not always singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But the role and the function and the effect of music in our lives, I think, is just unquestioned by people. And when it's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that teach, instruct, admonish, they also express our heart. And when it all comes down to it, that's exactly where God operates. That's where God wants to operate in our lives. He wants to do it in our hearts. You remember that great psalm where the declaration is made, "Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you." I've told you before about the preacher who finished his sermon and went to the back after services, and people were going out shaking his hand. "Oh, what a wonderful sermon." And One fellow went out and said, "Well, I'll tell you, preacher," he says, "you really stepped all over my toes today." And the preacher said, "Well, I'm sorry. I missed my aim. I was aiming at your heart." That's exactly where God aims His word, is at our hearts. That's exactly where songs provide the valuable function that they can in our lives. It's in our hearts. When we do, as Paul said, sing with the understanding. Every one of us here who's been a Christian for any length of time knows the danger that we face and that we always need to be on guard against, of allowing what we do to become just routine, and we do it by rote, we do it through habit, we do it without thought, we do it without God's approval too. But when it is with thought, when it is not just a habitual kind of action, when it is with understanding, then our singing can touch our hearts. And that's why it's able to instruct us and to guide us. And the final thing I would say to you is, I believe we sing, we should sing, they sang, because it is an expression of thankfulness. It is a way that we can express our thankfulness. Turn to the book of Hebrews in the 13th chapter. And there in the 15th verse, you'll find where the Hebrew writer says this: "Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name." Is there a better description of what we do when we sing? Again, it is undeniably a praising of God. It is a means by which we, as New Testament Christians, offer sacrifice. It is through what we express with our lips in praise to God as we give thanks to His name. You want to know why you should sing? Well, do you have anything you need to thank God for? Do you have any sense of obligation? Any sense of debt, indebtedness to Him? Does that need to be expressed? Singing's not the only way to express it, but singing is a way to express it. A valuable way that will affect and influence you, and that will please God. It's hard to think of it, but my singing can actually please somebody. Now, if you ask my girls that, they would tell you, no way. I don't know exactly why it happened like this, and as Robin and I raised our girls. But I sang to them a lot. Not because I'm good. You may be, if you've ever heard me sing, you may be wondering why I was never arrested for child abuse. But I did sing to them a lot. For a lot of different reasons. Sometimes it could be kind of soothing to them. Help them when they're upset or whatever, crying, to kind of be eased. But to be honest with you, I think the main reason I did it, as much as I did it, was because I enjoyed it. And it sometimes became, or eventually, of course, became a source of a joke in some ways with them. But when I did it, it was not a joke. It's hard to imagine, but God can be pleased with my singing. And when you think about it, there's not a lot of, I mean, it's just hard to think about us doing things and being able to do things that make God happy. I think certainly we, and I know there are a lot of things that we can do that would make him happy, but it may just be that a lot of the times we think more along the lines of the things that we do tend to make him unhappy. But I know that when I sing, if it's with the understanding, if it's from a heart that is genuinely touched, that wants to express its thanks to God for what he has done, if it's because I want to praise him, I'm just convinced it makes him happy. No matter how off-key it may be. Why do you sing? Maybe a better question is, do you sing? Not just here. When you're like that man that James describes, and you're off by yourself somewhere, and you're happy, you're cheerful, do you sing to God to let him know it? I think it would help us in our relationship to him and the intimacy that ought to exist between us. I'll tell you who probably doesn't sing to God, and that's the person who is separated from him, being guilty of sins, and is aware of that. But that need not continue to be the case if it is the case with you this night. You can leave this place tonight no longer guilty of sin, no longer separated from God, and able to sing to him so that it makes him happy. If you believe Jesus is his son and would turn away from your sins, if you confess your faith and would be baptized, wash the guilt of your sins away, you can become one of his children. You can make him happy. We hope you will, while we stand and sing together.